Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
In a mom's heart, her greatest fear is that her daughter will experience some type of a crisis, playing games like the choking game, cutting themselves. They will do binge drinking. They will get themselves pregnant. Not only does it become a fear, but sometimes for moms, it becomes a reality.
I'm Jim Burns. Well, the teen and preteen years can be tough on a girl. I mean, her body is changing in so many different ways. Plus, everything else around her seems to be changing, and there are plenty of hormones, and there is a lot of drama to go around. Believe me, I know, I've had three daughters. During this season, it's perfectly normal for a girl to want to move away from her parents emotionally. However, the teen and preteen years are exactly when a girl needs her parents the very most. And during the next half hour, I'll continue my conversation with Susie Schellenberger. She's the editor of Brio Magazine for Girls from Focus on the Family. We're going to talk about some very practical ways for us parents to understand the nonverbal communication our daughters use once adolescence begins. Well, hearing what your daughter isn't saying is our theme on today's edition of Homeward, so stay with us. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, and today on the program, part two of Jim's conversation with Susie Schellenberger. You remember that name. Susie has been working with teens and preteens, especially focusing on girls and girl issues, for years, for decades, and is the founder of Brio Magazine with Focus on the Family, and now with Susie Magazine as she's on her own. She knows how to talk in a way that young girls understand, and so now she's translating young girl language for us today on the program, and we're having a conversation about hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. If you need resources to help you start to speak this language a little better, stay with us at the end of the program. We'll talk about them here on Homeward. And now here's Dr. Jim Burns.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation today with Susie Schellenberger, hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. Susie has a passion for teens and a passion for preteen girls. She's the founding editor of Brio Magazine for Focus on the Family, author of lots of great books, and a great communicator to kids and to moms as well. Couldn't think of a better person to be on our program today. You know, the world your teenage daughter or your preteen daughter is growing up in many ways, is very different from the teen world you may remember from your own childhood. That's obvious. But if you learn to listen with your heart, you can unlock the mystery of what your daughter really does long for you to hear from her world. Not easy. Susie, welcome back to our program.
Jim, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, I want to keep talking about this, what your daughter isn't telling you. I wish we would have had this conversation when our kids were a little bit younger. It's interesting because of having three daughters, it surprised me the incredible emotional ups and downs that they went through. Yeah. In our family, we had three girls, and there was actually some competition and sibling rivalry as well. How do you respond to a girl who's at odds with her sister because she might feel, and this was in our case as well, that mom likes you best?
Yeah. Let's just call her Jamie. I'd say, Jamie, you need to let your mom know your feelings, but you need to do it in a gentle and respectful way. And there's a way to do that. And if you're comfortable sitting down with your mom and just saying, look, this is how I see it, this is how I feel, then do it that way. If not, then write your mom a note. Remember to be gentle and respectful. Start it out with, Mom, I love you, and I'm so happy to be a part of this family. But I feel like Regina gets all the attention. And I feel sometimes like you favor her, and she's getting to do some things that I don't get to do. And can you help me understand that? Instead of, you love Regina more. You know, just watch the tone of your voice. Be honest with your mom. Let her know your feelings. Yeah. You see, our feelings can't be negated. Right. And so when we couch it with love, Mom, I love you, I'm happy to be a part of the family, but this is how I feel, this is how I see it, then a mom can't negate your feelings. She can help, you know, she can help some things you don't understand. Well, the reason she got to go spend the night with her friend and you didn't is because, oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Right. Wise wisdom, actually. Right. Now, get an email from a kid. I'm looking at an email that you literally did get. When my sister and my mom are together, they seem to have lots of fun laughing and talking. But when it's just my mom and me, it's kind of dead silence. I feel as though mom doesn't really want to talk to me or actually even enjoy each other like you know, my sister. And I know that's a common issue. What do you say to that kid?
You know, the reason that she's seeing this is probably because her sister and her mom are more alike. They probably have more in common. And it could be this girl and her mom really are polar opposites. Maybe her mom loves to sew. Her mom loves to cook. And this girl really loves tinkering with cars and looking under the hood. And she's more mechanically oriented. So it could be that you're just really opposite from your mom. So my advice to her would be try to find something that you and your mom have in common that you can enjoy doing together. It might be putting a puzzle together. It might be just taking a walk around the block once a day. Right. But something that you and your mom can actually do together, just the two of you. And if you're having trouble thinking of something, then ask your mom, Mom, what's something that just you and I can do together once a week or twice a week, even if it's just walking around the block?
No, you know, that's great input. And what I appreciate about you is you're saying to kids, look, it's not just your parents who are going to have to make some of these decisions. Your parents may not even understand it. So you go. I don't care if you're a preteen or you're a teen. Take the initiative and enjoy your parents coming. You know, a lot of times I'll say, look, your mom probably likes to go to Starbucks, so go to Starbucks
right.
and just sit and hang out and do something she likes to do. Go to her territory. We always tell parents, and of course you do this and I do this too. I say to parents, go to your kids' territory. Yeah. We said that in a previous conversation. But I say to the kids, go to your parents' conversation. Mm-hmm. So if your parent likes to do something, then, you know, hang out with them.
And it could be that mom really doesn't know you're feeling this way. I mean, to a teen girl, well, she's got to know how awkward it is when just the two of us together. Maybe not, because in her mind, she's going through the checklist of everything that she has to do today. So she does need to know and take the initiative.
You're so right. Today's parent is very different. You know, a millennial kid would say that their parents kind of hover over them and smother them in many ways. And that wasn't the case in some previous generations as much. But today's parent and today's Christian parent, for some good reasons, because so much is going on in culture and whatnot, will kind of just hover over them.
Yeah.
Kids, I know, write you and say, I want to be respectful to my parents, but I want them to say, look, mind your own business. Give me some privacy. What do you say to the kid and what do you say to the mom who may be being a little bit overbearing, but in her mind, she's doing it because she's trying to protect her kid?
Yeah. Unfortunately, so many parents today are parenting out of fear. And I would say to a mom, first of all, trust your daughter until there's a reason not to. Give her the length of the rope until you need to start reeling it in. You know, your whole goal with your daughter is to create an independent individual that can thrive outside of your leadership. So when she's 23, 25, 21, whatever, she's a successful, victorious young lady on her own. And so to do that, you're going to have to trust her. So trust her until she gives you a reason not to trust her. And try to parent not out of fear, but try to parent smart. Try to parent wisely. Just because you went too far with a guy when you were in the ninth grade, mom, doesn't mean that your daughter's going to do that.
That's great input. And, you know, it's hard. It's not an easy thing because we are in the protection business. We did make mistakes when we were in ninth grade.
And we like to assume, well, I did it and I was afraid of it or I was more assertive in this area. So I'm sure she's thinking that way too. No, not necessarily.
No, so true. You know, Susie Schellenberger, hearing what your daughter isn't telling you is what we're talking about. We're talking mainly to moms, but many times moms will say, I wish my daughter had a better relationship with my husband or with my ex sometimes, and all kinds of times. And I know you get these all the time where kids will say, you know what? My dad never told me he's loved me. I want to be close to my dad. My dad tries to act cool, but he acts like a ding dong or whatever. but, you know, they seem to really have kind of a hole in their heart for dad.
Yeah.
What do you say to those kids? And what do you say to the mom who desperately wants that kind of relationship for their daughter with their husband or ex, you know, also?
Yeah, it's a big hole. Well, first of all, you know, some dads, and I'm glad to hear that you weren't this way, Jim. In a previous conversation, you mentioned there were times that you'd go into your daughter's bedroom and just kind of rub her back while she was in bed, and you'd have a neat conversation. But some dads, when their daughter reaches puberty, it's like, okay, hands off.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna put a 10-foot pole between us because I don't want anything to be considered sexual. And that's just going overboard. Daughters need to be touched and hugged appropriately from their fathers. And that's how they learn what appropriate touching is and from a godly perspective. So for the girl who doesn't have a good relationship with her dad, again, I would say, you know what? First of all, sit down and talk with him. If you can't do that, write him a letter and just say, Dad, I love you. And more than anything in the world, I want to have a great relationship with you. And I want, you know, I want to know that you're the person I look to for future guy relationships. I want them to measure up to what my dad is. And so you've got to communicate with your dad. Now, that begs the question, Well, what if there's not a dad in the home? Right. You know, again, there's a dad-shaped void, and just ideally, we would hope that every teen would have a mom and a dad, but we know that's just not realistic. But there's a dad-shaped hole that I believe God can give mom an extra grace to help fill, but also a good youth pastor, a godly Sunday school teacher. And, you know, there's some other godly men in your life that you can look to for godly male advice and appropriate male hugging and touching. Jim, each year, Brio Magazine takes a two-week international missions trip, and we take anywhere from 600 to 800 teens on these mission trips. And we meet with adults first for 2 days in Miami before all the teens come in. And to the men especially, we say, we need you to be a godly male role model, because many of these girls who arrive don't have a godly man in her life. And she doesn't know what's appropriate male touching. And so learn to give a side hug. Learn to pat a girl on her back. That's appropriate touching. Right. And touch them these next 2 weeks, because she needs to be touched appropriately from a godly male. Right. And so there are men in your life that you can look to who can fill that void.
No, and you are singing my song. Why we don't give them affection and
yes.
warmth and encouragement is what they need so badly. Or unfortunately, there's a lot of sexually promiscuous kids who are sexually promiscuous not because they wanted sex, but because they wanted nurture and love.
Absolutely.
And oftentimes from a dad or from a healthy, positive role model.
That's so key. And when you see kids learning about sex and sexuality from sources outside of the home, when they're not having that instruction from mom and dad, when mom and dad can become that place where they can have those conversations, it turns things around. And today on the Homeward Broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns having a conversation with Susie Schellenberger, the founder of Susie Magazine and Brio Magazine from Focus on the Family. And our topic of discussion, hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. Moms know that this is kind of a real struggle area when you've got a teen or pre-teenage daughter. Dads, sometimes we just say, ask your mother, or kind of wait for mom to fill in the gap. Both of us, moms and dads, have to be more proactive. Susie's written a great book called What Your Daughter Isn't Telling You. It's a book that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. And this is one of the many resources that you as a parent can get a hold of and utilize to unlock your teen or pre-teenage daughter's heart. If she's shutting down, she doesn't have to, and she wants you to come after her. For more information on how you can get a copy of this book, visit our online resource center at homeward.com.
My boyfriend looks at porn online, but I think it's disgusting.
The chat rooms are cool, but I don't like to look at the pictures.
On the surface, it might seem that the porn industry caters to men. And it is a fact that 72% are men and 28% women. But there's an alarming trend regarding the link between girls, young adult women, and pornography that every parent should be aware of. I'm Jim Burns from Homeward.com. The women and girls who do use pornography are more likely to use it more often. Teenage girls and young adult women are particularly drawn to chat rooms based on pornographic websites. Now, there's a good possibility that your daughter is not using online pornography. But don't take any chances. Talk to her today about the dangers of internet porn. And for a free copy of my brand new tip sheet called Girls and Online Pornography, Is Your Daughter at Risk? Go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns.
Each month, Homeward's Good Advice Parenting Newsletter gives you new and helpful tools for improving the quality of the parent-child relationships in your home. It's easy to start receiving this useful publication. It's absolutely free when you sign up for your free subscription at homeward.com. Visit our online resource center at homeward.com.
Welcome back. I am enjoying this conversation so much. We're talking about hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. Susie Schellenberger with us, editor, founding editor, actually, of Brio Magazine for Focus on the Family, author of many, many books, makes her home in Colorado Springs, and I think one of the real great voices for young girls today, as well as for moms, one of the great voices in the youth movement. What a privilege to have her. I started to say in our studio, but Roger, we are in Focus on the Family studio today, having a conversation with her, and what a privilege and what a joy that Focus would give us this kind of opportunity to use their studio, generous people that they are and wonderful people that they are. Susie, I think sometimes in a mom's heart, her greatest fear is that her kids will experience some type of a crisis. They will do binge drinking. They will get themselves pregnant or get their sexual stuff out of control.
Right.
I mean, playing games like the choking game, uh-huh. cutting themselves. And not only does it become a fear, but sometimes for moms, it becomes a reality. Some pretty good kids I know have made some really unwise decisions. What do you say to the mom who is struggling? Her heart is broken. and she in some ways doesn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. She's just so involved in the fact that her daughter walked a different way than she had ever hoped or prayed for.
Well, first of all, I want to start with a character from the Bible, and that's Jacob. He was a liar and a cheater and a deceiver, and it took him 25 years, basically, to transition from his father's faith to my faith. It took him 25 years. If it can take Jacob 25 years to become the godly man that God wanted him to be, it may take your daughter 25 years. So keep that in mind. It may take her 10 years to get where she needs to be. It may take her 5 years to get through sowing her oats and doing this and doing that, but train up a child the way that she should grow. Cling to the promises that God has given you, and don't give up on your faith in Christ, and don't give up on praying for your daughter. Again, I've got to keep saying, pray for your daughter and pray with your daughter, especially with the daughter going through a crisis. Sure, you're praying for her, but are you praying with her? No, that's too uncomfortable. Yes, it may be uncomfortable, but she needs to know, even though she may never respond in a positive way, she needs to know and hear your voice and know that my mom is walking into the throne room of Christ, and she's walking me into his throne room. So for a mom whose daughter is in a crisis situation, let's say you've just found out she has an eating disorder. You've just found out that she's a cutter. First of all, realize this is way too big for you to handle on your own. You're not a professional. You're a mom, and that's what you should be. And you should be loving your daughter. You should be all the things that you're doing, all the things that you're already doing. You keep doing. Keep loving your daughter. Keep listening to her. But it's over your head. You're not a professional. So take her to get professional help. And let me strongly emphasize Christian professional help. I can't afford a Christian counselor, Susie. Then start with your pastor or start with your youth leader. Start with somebody in your community that you know and that you trust spiritually, and you know and you trust intellectually to help get your daughter where she needs to be. Jim, they're saying, and you already know this, they're saying that today's generation, cutting is today's generation eating disorder. Not to mean that eating disorders are on the decline. They're not. But it's so pervasive that it's almost everybody's doing it. I mean, when you and I speak to a crowd of kids, all we have to do is say, anybody in here know a cutter? Every hand will go up. 100% know a cutter, and probably about 40% or 50% have dabbled in it themselves.
Now, you just said something that's fascinating, because you just said cutter, and there are some parents who are saying, my goodness, you know, there was a little mark on my daughter once, and it wasn't that big of a deal, but, you know, she's got a friend who actually cuts. I thought that was weird because it didn't happen when I was growing up, and yet today it is at epidemic proportions. Why would a kid want to cut? And what are they feeling when they cut themselves?
Well, actually, it's a release of endorphins, and that's the wrong kind of release that we want. I mean, we want to teach kids, go slam tennis balls against a backboard, write in a journal, go jog around the block, release, get your release that way. But one of the girls that I interviewed who was an ex-cutter said, Susie, you just don't understand. I hurt so bad emotionally inside that to take a knife and actually cut myself and open my flesh and see blood come out of my skin is a release for me, because it takes my attention off of the tremendous amount of emotional hurt that I feel, and it forces me now to focus on a physical pain, which isn't near as great as the emotional hurt that I feel.
That's so very important. One of the things that every mom and probably every daughter wants is they want this incredible bond. And what you say is build a covenant.
Right.
In many ways, you have some practical steps that kind of help you build a bond, not just for the moment, but really for a lifetime, which is what is the heart's desire for a mom and for her daughter.
Absolutely, Jim. It comes at the very end of our Closer Moms and Daughters Conference, one day, all day, Saturday event. We end with a covenant ceremony where we encourage moms, first make this five-step covenant to God and then turn and make it to your daughter. Daughter, here's your five-step covenant that you'll first make to God and then turn and make it to your mom. And then we ask them to seal it by placing a special piece of covenant jewelry around the neck of each other. It's a special heart-shaped jewelry with part of the covenant engraved on it that they get when they arrive at the conference. It's just included in their fee. And so just to kind of give you an idea, some practical parts of that covenant, the very first step of mom's covenant to God and her daughter is, honey, I make a covenant with God and with you to be a good role model for you. I'm going to be a godly role model. What that really means, mom, is that when you tell your daughter, no, you can't go see that R-rated movie, then she knows you're not going to be watching it in your bedroom at night with your husband after the kids have gone to bed. She knows when you say, no, we don't look at that you're not going to be reading a trashy romance novel. You walk your talk. You become a godly role model to her.
In some ways, you're starting accountability with with
absolutely,
her at an early age.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you're trying to live the life of Jesus in front of her. The second part of the covenant would be, I'm going to be here for you. I will be your safety net. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Jim, I found out from our youth pastor at church of a teen girl who was date raped. You know, she shouldn't have been where she was and all that stuff, but she couldn't tell her parents. And so he said, let's create a code word. And he said, I'm going to bring in the parents and tell them this too. But first he told the kids, if you are ever at a place where you shouldn't be and you're in danger, then you pick up the phone immediately. I would rather you call your parents, but if you can't, you call me or my wife, and you just, the word is going to be midnight, because that's the name of our dog. You call and you say midnight, and we will know safety is of the issue. We will rush to your side and pick you up. So parents, create that code word. It might be midnight. It might be something else.
Ours was orange.
Or,
why,
I
have no idea.
I love that. But no, this is not the time for a lecture. Right. It's not the time. You were where? You were what? You know you should have been. This is the time. I want you to know I'm your safety net. I'm going to come and I'm going to rescue you. We may have to deal with the issues later, but I will be your safety net. Jim, the confidence that a teen girl has when she knows for the rest of my life, I've got a safety net.
Those are simple. In some ways, we can do it. We have to be intentional, but they're simple. What else do you have?
Well, number three, honey, I'm going to pray for you every day. A daughter draws confidence from knowing that her mom is praying for her. And then number four, to consistently pray with you. Now, it's not practical for all moms and daughters to pray with each other every day. Maybe the daughter's got a 5 o'clock or 3 o'clock paper route, or she's in college and she's off, and you can't pray with each other every day. But as often as possible, we'll pray together. I'll pray for you every day and consistently with you. And then lastly, I'm going to help you unfold the unique personality and gifts with which you've been blessed. And you may like tinkering with cars. I don't. And I don't understand why you would, but I'm going to help you develop that. You may like gymnastics. I can't even turn a somersault. I'm going to sign you up for gymnastic lessons. In other words, I'm not going to try to make you into a carbon copy of what I am. I'm going to help you become the young lady that God has instilled you to be. And then the daughters have a whole different set. Some of them are same, some of them are different. Covenant steps to make with God and to her mom.
That's incredible. Thank you for incredible wisdom today, Susie. This is why we have the Homeward Broadcast, for great conversations like this.
Thanks for having me, Jim. It's been my privilege.
Susie Schellenberger, hearing what your daughter isn't telling you.
And that's a great topic of conversation. We don't get a pass on this one, mom and dad. If you've got a 13-year-old daughter at home right now and she's unusually quiet and withdrawn, we can't just let her sulk off in a room and wander away from the family conversation. We really need to get active and get more involved, and without being belligerent. And today on the program, that's part two of Jim's conversation with Susie Schellenberger on hearing what your daughter isn't telling you. And Jim, I know you've been looking at this for 30 years. I mean, this is your life's work, is helping parents unlock the heart of teenagers who kind of move away. I'm sure that there are some things that have changed and some things that have stayed the same. What's the biggest change that you've seen in this area here?
What's different about this generation, though, and that's why I'd say yes or no, is how they're dealing with their pain. I think there's more at stake today. They're turning to drugs. There was drugs and alcohol when I was growing up, but they're turning at an earlier age. Many times they don't have the kind of family support system in place that I had in my life, or you had in your life as well, knowing your story, Roger. And so they're in a different situation. I looked at a bunch of kids recently and I said, I wouldn't want to be your age because you experience so much so young. Now, let's not also forget, I think one of the biggest differences, and that's the internet. I have said to people over and over again, I sound like I'm being negative. I'm very positive about this generation, but it's the internet that could take our kids down. I think it's very important for parents to know that kids are finding community online, and that gives them, in some ways, a false sense of security that I think can be potentially dangerous and, if not, life-threatening. Not all situations, because the internet can be a good thing, too. Now, if your daughter or your son, for that matter, starts clamming up around you, they might be pouring their hearts out online in a community of virtual strangers. Well, it's important for us as parents to understand this. I can't stress enough how important it is for you as a parent to get the facts about internet safety. We've been talking about this and around it today. Then start creating a safer online environment for your kids at home. Well, the book, Internet Protect Your Kids. I love this book. I recommend this book wherever I go. This is a Homeward Project, by the way, and it was written by two men who are very important in my life and play a vital role in our ministry. One is my good friend Steve Arterburn, who happens to be a board member for Homeward, and the other is Roger Marsh, you know, sitting across from me right now, who you hear every day here on the program. He's a co-host, producer of the program. It's a great book.
Well, Jim, I appreciate the kind words. And the thing about Internet Protect Your Kids that we wanted to strive, Steve and I did, in putting this book together is to give parents just a basic understanding of how the Internet works. Now, obviously, when the book was published, Facebook wasn't as big a deal. YouTube, you know, smartphones, I mean, that wasn't the way the world was working. But if you look at the inner workings in terms of the way cyber porn and cyber bullying takes place and why kids are drawn to video games and how addictive they can be, it's a very helpful resource. It is a Homeward project, and we encourage you to check it out online at homeward.com. You can order it directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center, and when you do, a portion of the proceeds actually goes to supporting the ministry of Homeward. So thank you for checking out that resource and other resources like it. Anything that Dr. Jim Burns has written and published is available through homeward.com, and when you purchase it through us, a portion of the proceeds supports the ministry. So thanks for that. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.